And Brahma told him to sit down. And okay, he sat down and he was had great affection for Lord Brahma and was had very he was smiling and joy. Then the greatly glorious Vyas, addressing Brahma, Parameshti, said, "O divine Brahma, by me a poem hath been composed which is greatly respected. The mystery of the Veda and what other subjects have been explained by me, the various rituals of the Upanishads with the Angas, the compilation of the Puranas, and history formed by me and named after the three divisions of time, past, present, and future, the determination of the nature of decay, fear, disease, existence, and non-existence, a description of creeds and the various modes of life," creeds, that must be nirvanas. No, here's those, creeds, modes of life, would be the ashrams. "Rule for the four castes, the Varnas, and the import of all the Puranas. An account of asceticism and of the duties of a religious student, the Brahmacharis. The dimensions of the sun and moon, the planets, constellations, and stars, together with the duration of the four ages, the Rik Sama Yajurvedas. Also the Adhyatma." The Adhyatma means the transcendental, Paramatma. "The sciences called Naya, orthophy and treatment of diseases, charity and Pashupata Dharma, taking care of animals, birth, celestial and human, for particular purposes, also a description of places of pilgrimage and other holy places of rivers, mountains, forests, and the ocean, of heavenly cities and the kalpas, the art of war, the different kinds of nations and languages, the nature, the manners of the people, and the all-pervading spirit. All these have been represented, but, after all, no writer of this work is to be found on earth." Brahma said, "I esteem thee for thy knowledge of divine mysteries. Before the whole body of celebrated munis, distinguished for the sanctity of their lives, I know thou hast revealed the divine word, even from its first utterance, in the language of truth. Thou hast called thy present work a poem, wherefore it shall be a poem. There shall be no poets whose works may equal the descriptions of this poem. Even as the three other modes called ashrama are ever unequal in merit to the domestic ashram, let Ganesh be thought of, O Muni, for the purpose of writing this poem." Okay, now here, this is very important. There'll be no poets whose works may equal the descriptions of this poem. Right?
I'm going to understand.
Shall be no poets whose works may equal the descriptions of poems. It means no other poets, it means writers of poems. A poet is someone who writes a poem. No one else's poem will be equal to this poem.
Okay.
Right? But here is the clue, because we know that Bhagavatam is greater than this. But here he says, even as the three other modes called ashram are ever unequal in merit to the domestic ashram. In other words, on the material platform, the Grihastha Ashram is the best, right? Because the Grihastha Ashram is the source of the others and the maintenance of the others, right? From Grihasthas you get Brahmacharis, right? And then those Brahmacharis, and then from Grihasthas they retire, become Vanaprasthas and Sannyasis. So all the orders come out of the Grihastha Ashram. Plus, the Grihasthas are giving charity to the Sannyasis, Vanaprasthas, and Brahmacharis. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, in that way, on the material platform, the Grihastha is the best. Socially, they're the best ashram. Does that make sense?
Yes.
But, just in that same way, just as the Bhagavatam is there, therefore, then, for getting out in the material world, the other three are better. Right? So, one should always remember is that being here and being maintained by them and that, therefore, they deserve respect. Right, so the Brahmacharis, Vanaprastha, Sannyasis should never speak badly of the Grihasthas, because they're being taken care of and maintained by them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But at the same time, know it that the best ashrams for getting out of the material world are those that are more detached. But the process of bhakti, that's for detachment. But the process of bhakti is so powerful that even in the grihastha ashram, then by engaging everything in Krishna's service, it is also greatly valuable for making spiritual advancement. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But here, that's why the comparison, just as, right? Or here he uses even. You know, now we'd use just as, then they would use even. Even as, you know? Okay. Let Ganesh be thought of, O Muni, for the purpose of writing the poem. So he said, be thought of. In other words, he has to meditate upon him. And then Ganesh will come. Sauti said, Brahma, having thus spoken to Vyas, retired to his own abode. Then Vyas began to call to mind Ganesh. And Ganesh, obviator of obstacles, means remover of obstacles. Obviate means to remove. Obviator of obstacles, ready to fulfill the desires of his votaries, I guess that's his devotees, was no sooner thought of than he repaired to the place. Repaired means he came. That's an old term for repaired. Well, this guy doesn't even know it. These won't even know these ones either. Then he repaired to the place where Vyas was sitting, and when he had been saluted and was seated, Vyasa addressed him thus, O guide of the Ganas, be thou the writer of the Bharata, which I have formed in my imagination, and which I am about to repeat. Ganesh, upon hearing this address, thus answered, I will become the writer of thy work, provided my pen do not for a moment seethe to writing. I didn't say Sifith. And Vyasa, what?
The translations are also very poetic. Is it because the Sanskrit is like
that? Yeah. No, because he said it's very poetic. So you see, these are very long sentences because there's so many, like, how do you say? What do they call them? The adjectives. Adjectives, adverbs, all of the descriptive things, anything that describe the nouns and everything. You know? Mm-hmm. You know, so like that, yeah. And it would be very complex. So they're not simple sentences. Like Ramayana will be very simple sentences. Gita is also fairly simple. Gita Pradesh is simple. Like that, it's written like that. Can we calm down, gentlemen? So you should always know that if you like what's going on and it's a nice class, that doesn't mean you have to go crazy. Use that energy of happiness to put it into what's going on. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, then you'll always have a problem, because whenever you get happy, you'll go crazy. Or when you're not happy, you'll try to be crazy to become happy. Because you won't know any other way to be happy. Does that make sense? Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
That's the point. Okay. And Vyas, my pen do not for a moment cease writing, means that it's not, as I'm writing, it should just keep writing. You just keep talking, I'll keep writing. Right? And Vyas said unto that divinity, wherever there be anything thou dost not comprehend, cease to continue writing. Right? Ganesh, having signified his assent by repeating the word Om, proceeded to write. And Vyas began. In other words, it was like, that. It's like, okay, you know, and these guys are missing, so he just pulls the paper out and just starts writing. I think he started speaking. There is a, I've heard it said that, you know, how Ganesh has one broken tusk, you know, but he always has it in his hand. That is because then he said, as long as it starts now, you know, and Vyasadeva just started. So he had nothing to write with, so he broke off the end of his tusk and started writing with that.
He was only writing with a tusk, no ink or something like that?
No, it's the old style of writing, they don't use ink. You take, generally it's an iron-like pointed thing, and you have the palm leaf and you scratch the letters into it, right? And then afterwards you take either kumkum or I'm not sure what else they use, something black. I'm not sure what the black one's made from. I think it's they burn something, and that is then put onto the paper so it goes into the cracks, and then you wipe it off, mm-hmm. right? And then I'm not sure if it's a fresh leaf or a dry leaf or what is that, but the powder stays inside because it's been scratched. It's probably a little bit pokey, and maybe it gets, because if it's green, it's a little moist or something, so it like sticks in there. You see these old books, you can see them like that.
I heard one story, because when Ganesh was writing, he bent backward to stretch and he went like that. So the pen flew out of his hand. Immediately Vyasadeva started to write because he had nothing. Then he broke it.
Oh, okay. So that's how it...
That's what I heard.
Okay. So maybe. But there's something, is that the whole point was is he had to write, so he broke it off. Yes.
He sets the rules, he gets hurt bad.
Yeah. And Vyas began. And by way of diversion, and Vyas began, and by way of diversion, Vyasadeva knit the knots of composition exceedingly close, by doing which he dictated this work according to his engagement. Right? Means, in other words, knit the knots very close means it was very, very succinct points, very deep points, and also probably here also the poetry was very complex like that. Here he says, I am acquainted with, this is Sauti speaking, I am acquainted with 8,800 verses, and so is Sukha, and perhaps Sanjaya, from the mysteriousness of their meaning, O Muni, no one is able to this day to penetrate those closely knit, difficult shlokas. Even the omniscient Ganesh took a moment to consider, while Vyas, however, continued to compose other verses in great abundance. All right, so he would go along, and then when it's like he needs a little moment to think, then he would say something that was so... So there's 8,800 of those verses, you know, in the 100,000 verses that he wrote, you know, so it's less like, what, like 12% or something of it is written so to create, give him time to compose more verses. Right? So he's saying that you're acquainted with them, but no one is able to understand to this day. Ganesh understood them, but it took him a moment to think. Didn't he?
And that time they didn't understand, or what could we expect?
The wisdom of this work, like unto an instrument of applying, collyrium means cudgel. I think that's the Latin for it, collyrium. Hath opened the eyes of the inquisitive world, blinded by the darkness of ignorance. As the sun dispelleth the darkness, so doth the Bharata, by its discourses on religion, profit, pleasure, and final release, means dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, right? Dispels the ignorance of men. As the full moon, by its mild light, expandeth the buds of the water lily, so doth the Bharat by its discourses on... Okay, we're saying... As the full moon by its mild light expandeth the buds of the water lily, so this Purana, by exposing the light of the Shruti, hath expanded the man, the human intelligence. Right? Means as the moon comes and then the water lilies open, right, at night. And so then the same way, by the Bharata coming, then by exposing the light of the Shruti, of the Veda, then men's intelligence opens, blooms, right? Mm. That makes sense. By the lamp of history, which destroyeth the darkness of ignorance, the whole mansion of nature is properly and completely illuminated. Right? By hearing what the great persons did before, then you know how to behave and everything in nature. You know, you see in its proper light how to deal with others, the humans, the demigods, everything that you see around you. This work is a tree of which the... okay. Okay, this goes just the 18th. This work is a tree of which the chapter of contents is the seed. The divisions called Pauloma and Astika are the root. Right? In other words, everything's fixed in that. The part called Sambhava is the trunk. The books called Shava and Aranya are the roosting perches. The books called Arani is the knitting knots. It means where the tree comes together, you get these kind of knots, you know, in the wood. The book's called Virat and Udyog, the pith. Right, inside you kind of got that soft part of the tree that everything moves through. The book named Bhishma, the main branch. The book called Drona, the leaves. The book called Karna, the fair flowers. The book named Shalya, the sweet smell. The books entitled Sri and Aishika, the refreshing shade. The book called Shanti, the mighty fruit. The book called Ashwamedha, the immortal sap. The denominated Ashrama Vasika, the spot where it groweth. And the book called Mushala is an epitome of the Vedas and held in great respect by the virtuous Brahmins.
So Mahabharata's form is in the form of a tree?
He's comparing it to the tree. It is a tree, but it's saying he's showing what is what in the tree. Because all these things do something different. The seed means everything's coming out of the chapter of contents, so that contains everything. Right? Then Paloma and Astika are the roots, so that whatever the points that are being made there, then that's what everything else is going to be drawn up through. You know, they're the ones that are pulling in the... They're the cause of it happening. Right, Sambhava is the trunk, that's what holds it up. Shabha and Aranya are the roosting perches, you know, where the branches kind of meet. You know, in other words, where the branches come out are that, because of Shabha Parva, right, because then, because of that, then there's going to be the gambling match, right, and Aranya is then they're having to go to the forest. Right? Arani is the knitting knots. I'm not sure what Arani means, probably when they're in the forest. Right? So that's what causes all the different complications in the thing. The book's called Virat and Udyog, the pith, means all the sap, the energy of it's moving through those, because Virat is when it comes to the clothes and Udyog is when they grab the armies. All right? Then Bhishma is the main branch. So that must be because the war is there. Then the Drona, then the leaves, that's, you know, that creates, expanded from that. Karna, the flowers, and that's farther than that. Shalya, sweet smell. Then Sri and Astika, Aishika, the refreshing shade, means then the war is over, the Pandavas are established again. So that's the shade. Shanti, the mighty fruit. So there must be something in there where I think that's Shanti Parva, maybe.
Bhishma talks to us.
Yes, there, I think so. So then, you know, because in Dharma Shastra, that's like the essence of the Dharma Shastra there, you know, practical, like that. The spot where, the book called Ashwamedha, the immortal sap. So that's what it's growing off of, you know, a sacrifice. Did you know one here at Ashrama Vasika, the spot where it grows, like that. And the book called Moshala is an epitome of the Vedas. It's the essence of the Vedas, that last chapter. So he'll most likely sum everything up and give all the essence. Okay. The tree of the Bharata, inexhaustible to mankind as the clouds, shall be as a source of livelihood to all distinguished poets. Right? Means, in other words, means those who are... respectable poets, then they'll know the Bharata by explaining and discussing and all this. And people will always be asking people for taking care of them, entertaining them, and everything like that. Does that make sense? So someone who knows the Mahabharata, then, you know, will always be appreciated by others. Sauti continued. Do you know how many other boys left early?
Yes, I don't know. Jaipalad is not here.
Jaipalad, Jan, and Chaitanya.
Only the Ashram was here.
Oh, okay. Sauti continued. I will now speak of the undying flowery and fruitful productions of this tree. And it means what it comes from this tree. Possessed of pure and pleasant taste, and not to be destroyed even by the immortals. Formerly, the spirited and virtuous Krishna Dwaipayana, by the injunctions of Bhishma, the wise son of Ganga, and of his own mother, became the father of three boys who were like the three fires by the two wives of Ichitraveeriya. The three fires means those who do the Karmakanda Yagyas, then there's always keep three fires. Like that. It'd be the main fire, I think, then there's the Prayaschitta fire, and I'm not sure what the other fire is. So then they do the Yagyas in all three fires. They're all different. You know, if it's bigger, then you have three Brahmins. And if not, you do it in each one, like that.
Would it be the Punyavati fire, the third one?
I'm not sure. I think the main one does all that. Mm-hmm. But, we'll use four, and one of them is Prayaschitta. You know? Mosquitoes? Or? And having thus raised up Dhritarashtra, Pandu, and Vidura, he returned to his recluse abode to prosecute his religious exercise. Okay. It was not till after these were born, grown up, and departed on the supreme journey, that the great Rishi Vyas published the Bharata in this region of mankind. When being solicited by Janamejaya and thousands of Brahmanas, he instructed his disciple, Vaishampayana, who was seated near him, and he, sitting together with the Sarasyas, recited the Bharata during the intervals of the ceremonies and sacrifice, being repeatedly urged to proceed. Okay, so that means... even though it may have been written before, it was not until after all of the, you know, Dhritarashtra, Pandu, and Vidura had left that it was published. It means it was spoken in this case. Okay, and then because they were asked by Janamejaya and thousands of Brahmins, so then that's the king, so that was Parikit's son. So then he instructed Vaishampayana, and then Vaishampayana then spoke it.
So Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken before
because it said published here, meaning spoken. So it was written before the Mahabharata. I mean, it was written before the Bhagavatam.
But it was said after the Bhagavatam.
It may have been, in this case, it looks like spoken after. You know, maybe it was discussed here and there, but it wasn't, like, brought into the public.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Also, you said before that Vasudev first made the Mahabharata,
yeah.
And then he wasn't satisfied, and then...
The Narad Muni told him to write the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Another Srimad Bhagavatam, meanwhile, the Mahabharata was going on?
After he finished?
No, he had already finished Mahabharata, but he wasn't satisfied.
No, but did he write the Srimad Bhagavatam while Pandu and Vidura were still alive?
Not necessarily, they're not connected. Not necessarily.
When was it written, the Mahabharata?
It said after they left and before these others. The point is it doesn't matter the date and time and, you know, exactly, you know, was it facing east or north? You know, that doesn't really matter. What matters is that even if he hadn't written down the Mahabharata until later, he had already composed it. But he wasn't satisfied. Therefore, the Bhagavatam was composed. But he taught the Bhagavatam to his son Sukadev. Right? So then he spoke it, but he didn't write it down. He wrote down the rendition that Sukadev spoke. and then which was then again spoken by Suta Goswami. Just like the Mahabharata, what we see here, then what's written is what is spoken by Suta Goswami, who's heard it from Vaishampayana. You know what I'm saying? So he composes the work, then he'll teach it, then that person who teaches it, then after that, who hears it from who he's taught, that's the rendition he's written in both cases, the Bhagavatam and the Mahabharata. You know what I'm saying? So he's thought of it, it's already exists, because it's already, it's in, you know, that scripture is always there. Does that make sense? So in here the important element is just the order of composition, because the Mahabharata being composed and having everything that's there in the Vedic literature, still he wasn't satisfied, because it doesn't focus on developing our relationship with Krishna. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like that. But everything that's the essence of the Vedic literatures other than transcendence, that is fully explained. Transcendence is also, but not as full as it should be. Right? But Bhagavatam is just dealing with the transcendental. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And they were recited during the intervals of the ceremonies that sacrificed. Means you do the yajna in the morning, and then there's a gap, and then you do something in the evening. So in between, that's when you describe. You know, you do the morning, then there'll be discussions, then there'll be lunch, then there'll be some more discussions, then there'll be the yajna, then there'll be the evening discussions. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like that. So whenever there's the space in between and they had the time, then they would ask him to recite. So like that, during the sacrifice. Because always during the sacrifice, in the intervals, there's supposed to be discussions on philosophy and things like that. Mm-hmm. Vyas hath represented the greatness of the house of Kuru, the virtuous principles of Gandhari, the wisdom of Vidura, and the constancy of Kunti. The noble Rishi hath described the divinity of Vasudeva, means that he's transcendent, you mean he's the Supreme Lord, the rectitude of the sons of Pandu, and the evil practices of the sons and partisans of Dhritarashtra. Right? So in other words, we can understand that this is the essential point. You know, here is, you're describing the birth of those three, and then along with it, then their marriage, who they're married to, their children and those pastimes, and Krishna. Right? So that's considered like all the good, you know, all the essence of the whole thing. So that's why somebody does a rendition of the Mahabharata and that's all they stick to. It's not wrong, because that's actually the essence. But all these other things are the roots and the trunk and the, you know, all these different things that come up to seeing all that kind of stuff. Right? Because it's only, I think, after Astika, then you start to get down to the appearance of the Pandavas. That makes sense. That's why it's the root. You don't see the root. You know.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Vyas executed the compilation of the Bharata, exclusive of the episodes originally in 24,000 verses. Exclusive of the episodes. Exclusive of the episodes. Maybe episodes mean all the little side things. Originally in 24,000 verses. And so much only is called by the learned. And so much only is called by the learned as the Bharata. Afterwards, he composed an epitome in 150 verses, consisting of the introduction with the chapter of contents. Means, in other words, what's going on now and the next chapter. Chapter contents, that means two. This he first taught to his son Sukha, and afterwards he gave it to others of his disciples who were possessed of the same qualifications. After that, he executed another compilation consisting of 600,000 verses. Of those, 300,000 are known in the world of the Devatas. He did 600,000, so 300,000 are 600,000. But those 300,000 or 600,000, no, it means 300 is even more. 1500. Yeah, 300,000 are known in the world of the Devatas. No, it's not 30. Yeah, no, 300. 1500,000, that's one and a half in the world of the Pitris. 1400,000 among the Gandharvas, and 100,000 in the regions of mankind. Like that. So in other words, he started with 24,000. And that's really the main bharat. So that's why if you just take only the part with the Pandavas, then it's not a problem. And cut out all these little side stories. You just stick to the main stream. So then these books, like you see, like Krishna Dharma and these other like that, that's basically, that is the Mahabharata. Like you see the Mahabharata in the Bhagavatam, it's only dealing with the pastimes of the Pandavas. Right? But then he gave the essence of that in 150 verses, and then expanded that to 600,000. Like that. Okay. Yudhishthir,
what we're reading has 100,000 verses?
Yeah. That will come up. He'll say that I'm speaking 100,000. Narada recited them to the Devas, Devala to the Pitris, and Sukha published them to the Gandharvas. Yaksha, see here, published, see, means speaking. That's why we see this. Written is one thing, published is another. Just like you may write a manuscript, but until it's published, then it's not out in the public. So previously, publishing meant speak it. Nowadays, publish means print it. You understand? So there's a difference between the two. Publishing with the writing. Okay. Sukha published them to the Gandharvas, Yakshas, and Rakshasas. And in this world, they were recited by Vaishampayana, one of the disciples of Vyas. A man of just principles, and the first among all those acquainted with the Vedas. Know that I, Sauti, have also repeated 100,000 verses. Right? So he knows them, and so that's what he said here. Okay. Yudhishthir is a vast tree, formed of religion and virtue. Arjuna is its trunk. Bhimasen, its branches, the two sons of Madri, are its full-grown fruit and flowers, and its roots are Krishna, Brahma, and the Brahmanas. Yeah? Okay. So, I think we'll end here, because after this, then you get into like the synopsis of the whole thing, because he said that the first 150 is the essence of the whole thing. So now he's going to start telling. It's like a short form of the whole thing.
Maharaj, why Sri Vyasadeva was not satisfied even though that he gave the Bhagavad Gita?
Because the point is, if I speak for hours and hours on something mundane, and then I speak for a few minutes on, but actually the mundane is not so important. The tendency is you'll remember the 3 hours. And the problem that Vyasadeva said is that even though it said how to deal with material energy, there's things you should do and things you shouldn't do. So he said people will just do what they should do and not bother with what they shouldn't do. Right? So then that also they won't be then even properly engaged in the material side. Because right? You pointed that in the material activities is if they're connected to Krishna, then they become useful. But here they'll do the activities not necessarily thinking of Krishna, because it's not mentioned so much about the transcendence. Right? Because you have 100,000 verses and you have 700 verses of the Gita. Right? Does that make sense?
But isn't Mahabharata is like beautiful, like how to follow perfectly, like Karma Tanga or Karma Yoga and Gyana Yoga?
Hare Krishna talks about everything. Even how to follow properly bhakti. Because the essence of the Vedas is bhakti, but it's written for the general public, and so it's written in such a way that it's more exciting and attractive, and so most people miss the actual point. You know, like somebody reads a book, it's exciting, but the point that the book's being made might be completely missed.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
700 shlokas of Bhagavad Gita is mentioned in the big book?
The whole Gita will be here, but we wouldn't go through this Gita. Okay, anything else?
Maharaj, did Vyasadeva know that not so many people in old Sanskrit during Kali Yuga?
That's known, but it's always available. Because right, people are translating it. You know. Okay. Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.